They passed on from there to a travel hall, where they saw the car covered with tiles and the functioning Rube Goldberg chicken device and the rusting Bermashave ads on the wall. "Life is hard. It's toil and trouble. Keep your jawline free from stubble. Bermashave," read one. And he undertook to overtake. The road was on a bend. From now on, the undertaker is his only friend. Bermashave. And they were at the bottom of a ramp now, with an ice cream shop in front of them. It was nominally open, but the girl washing down the surfaces had a closed look on her face, so they walked past it into the pizzeria cafeteria, empty but for an elderly black man wearing a bright check suit and canary yellow gloves. He was a small man, the kind of little old man who looked as if the passing of the years had shrunk him, eating an enormous mini-scooped ice cream sundae, drinking a supersized mug of coffee. A black cigarillo was burning in the ashtray in front of him.
"Three coffees,"
said Wednesday to Shadow. He went to the restroom. Shadow bought the coffees and took them over to Chernabog, who was sitting with the old black man and was smoking a cigarette surreptitiously, as if he were scared of being caught. The other man, happily toying with his sundae, mostly ignored his cigarillo, but as Shadow approached, he picked it up, inhaled deeply, and blew two smoke rings. First one large one, then another, smaller one, which passed neatly through the first, and he grinned as if he were astonishingly pleased with himself.
"Shadow, this is Mr. Nancy."
The old man got to his feet and thrust out his yellow-gloved right hand.
"Good to meet you,"
he said with a dazzling smile.
"I know who you must be. You're working for the old one-eyed bastard, aren't you?"
There was a faint twang in his voice, a hint of a patois that might have been West Indian.
"I work for Mr. Wednesday." "Yes. Please sit down."
Chernabog inhaled on his cigarette.
"I think that our kind, we like these cigarettes so much because they remind us of the offerings that once they burned for us. The smoke rising up as they sought our approval or our favor."
"They never gave me nothing like that,"
said Nancy.
"Best I could hope for was a pile of fruit to eat, maybe curry goat, something slow and cold and tall to drink, and a big old high-titty woman to keep me company."
He grinned white teeth and winked at Shadow.
"These days, we have nothing."
"Well, I don't get anywhere near as much fruit as I used to,"
said Mr. Nancy, his eyes shining.
"But there still ain't nothing out there in the world for my money that can beat a big old high-titty woman. Some folk you talk to, they say it's the booty you got to inspect at first, but I'm here to tell you that it's the titties that still crank my engine on a cold morning."
Nancy began to laugh, a wheezing, rattling, good-natured laugh, and Shadow found himself liking the old man despite himself. Wednesday returned from the restroom and shook hands with Nancy.
"Shadow, you want something to eat? A slice of pizza or a sandwich?"
"I'm not hungry."
"Let me tell you something. It can be a long time between meals. Someone offer you food, you say yes. I'm no longer young as I was, but I can tell you this. You never say no to the opportunity to piss, to eat, or to get half an hour shut-eye. You follow me?"
"Yes, but I'm really not hungry."
"You're a big one,"
said Nancy, staring into Shadow's light gray eyes with old eyes the color of mahogany.
"A tall drink of water. But I got to tell you, you don't look too bright. I got a son stupid as a man who bought his stupid at a two-for-one sale, and you remind me of him."
"If you don't mind, I'll take that as a compliment."
"Being called dumb as a man who slept late the morning they handed out brains?"
"Being compared to a member of your family."
Mr. Nancy stubbed out his cigarillo, then he flicked an imaginary speck of ash off his yellow gloves.
"You may not be the worst choice old One-Eye could have made, come to that."
He looked up at Wednesday.
"You got any idea how many of us there's going to be here tonight?"
"I sent the message out to everyone I could find. Obviously, not everyone is going to be able to come, and some of them might not want to,"
he said with a pointed look at Chernabog.
"But I think we can confidently expect several dozen of us, and the word will travel."
They made their way past a display of suits of armor.
"Victorian fake,"
pronounced Wednesday as they passed the glassed-in display.
Modern fake. 12th-century helm on a 17th-century reproduction. 15th-century left gauntlet.
And then Wednesday pushed through an exit door, circled them around the outside of the building.
I can't be doing with all these ins and outs. I'm not as young as I used to be, and I come from warmer climes.
Along a covered walkway, in through another exit door, and they were in the carousel room. Calliope music played, a Strauss waltz, stirring and occasionally discordant. The wall, as they entered, was hung with antique carousel horses, hundreds of them, some in need of a lick of paint, others in need of a good dusting. Above them hung dozens of winged angels constructed rather obviously from female store window mannequins. Some of them bared their sexless breasts. Some had lost their wigs and stared baldly and blindly down from the darkness. And then there was the carousel. A sign proclaimed it was the largest in the world, said how much it weighed, how many thousand light bulbs were to be found in the chandeliers that hung from it in Gothic profusion, and forbade anyone from climbing on it or from riding on the animals. And such animals! Shadow stared, impressed in spite of himself, at the hundreds of full-sized creatures who circled on the platform of the carousel. Real creatures, imaginary creatures, and transformations of the two. Each creature was different. He saw mermaid and merman, centaur and unicorn, elephants, one huge, one tiny, bulldog, frog and phoenix, zebra, tiger, manticore and basilisk, swans pulling a carriage, a white ox, a fox, twin walruses, even a sea serpent, all of them brightly colored and more than real. Each rode the platform as the waltz came to an end and a new waltz began. The carousel did not even slow down.
What's it for? I mean, okay, world's biggest, hundreds of animals, thousands of light bulbs, and it goes around all the time and no one ever rides it.
It's not there to be ridden, not by people. It's there to be admired. It's there to be.
Like a prayer wheel going round and round, accumulating power.
So where are we meeting everyone? I thought you said we were meeting them here, but the place is empty.
Wednesday grinned his scary grin.
Shadow, you're asking too many questions. You're paid not to ask questions.
Sorry.
Now, stand over here and help us up.
Wednesday walked over to the platform on one side with a description of the carousel on it and a warning that the carousel was not to be ridden. Shadow thought of saying something, but instead he helped them, one by one, up onto the ledge. Wednesday seemed profoundly heavy. Chernabog climbed up himself, only using Shadow's shoulder to steady himself. Nancy seemed to weigh nothing at all. Each of the old men climbed out onto the ledge, and then, with a step and a hop, they walked out onto the circling carousel platform.
Well, aren't you coming?
Shadow, not without a certain amount of hesitation and a hasty look around for any House on the Rock personnel who might be watching, swung himself up onto the ledge beside the world's largest carousel. Shadow was puzzled to realize that he was far more concerned with breaking the rules by climbing onto the carousel than he had been aiding and abetting this afternoon's bank robbery. Each of the old men selected a mount. Wednesday climbed onto a golden wolf. Chernabog climbed onto an armored centaur, its face hidden by a metal helmet. Nancy, chuckling, slithered up onto the back of an enormous leaping lion, captured by the sculptor mid-roar. He patted the side of the lion. The Strauss waltz carried them around majestically. Wednesday was smiling and Nancy was laughing delightedly, an old man's cackle, and even the doer Chernabog seemed to be enjoying himself. Shadow felt as if a weight were suddenly lifted from his back. Three old men were enjoying themselves, riding the world's biggest carousel. So what if they did all get thrown out of the place? Wasn't it worth it, worth anything, to say that you had ridden on the world's largest carousel? Wasn't it worth it to have traveled on one of those glorious monsters? Shadow inspected a bulldog and a mer creature and an elephant with a golden howdah, and then he climbed on the back of a creature with an eagle's head and the body of a tiger and held on tight. The rhythm of the Blue Danube waltz rippled and rang and sang in his head. The lights of a thousand chandeliers glinted and prismed, and for a heartbeat, Shadow was a child again, and all it took to make him happy was to ride the carousel. He stayed perfectly still, riding his eagle tiger at the center of everything, and the world revolved around him.